And welcome back to African Perspectives on CHRY 105.5 FM. Our feature today will focus on two new books from Tanzania. The first dealing with the legacy of the late Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, and the second with the radical student magazine Cheche. We will now speak with Karim Hirji, the editor of a new book called Cheche, Reminiscence of a Radical Magazine. Cheche was a radical student magazine that was published at the University of Dar es Salaam from 1969 to 1970. The magazine addressed issues of African liberation struggles, socialism, post-independence Africa, and its challenges. Because of its critical and independent stand, Cheche was banned in November 1970. Karim, thank you very much for joining us today. I wanted to start off by asking you to tell us a bit more about Cheche magazine and its time and what it aimed to do.
Yeah, the magazine, as I said, was a student venture, and it was purely a voluntary effort done by first and second year university students who had organized themselves into a student movement called the University Students African Revolutionary Front. Now, this front, whose acronym was USARF, was a pan-African organization. So although the University of Dar es Salaam is based in Tanzania, it had students from all over Africa, especially from Kenya, Uganda, Malawi, and even as far as Sudan and Ethiopia. So all, progressive students who were committed to the idea of African liberation, they came together in this group called USARF. And USARF had organized many educational activities for students. It also organized practical activities to raise funds for African liberation movements. And then in 1969, USARF decided to start this magazine called Cheche. And as I said, Cheche means the spark. And its inspiration was actually from the name was inspired by Kwame Nkrumah's earlier magazine, which had been called The Spark, as well as Lenin's Iskra, which was published at the beginning of the 20th century. So it was quite a radical Marxist-oriented magazine, and the idea was to explore amongst ourselves what is the reality of liberation in Africa. To what extent has independence meant true liberation? To what extent it is just another form of domination by external powers, that we have flagged independence, but actually our economy is controlled by Western powers? So all those issues we thought we needed to discuss, and a magazine would be a good venue for students and other progressive staff members to discuss these issues. So those were the main ideas behind founding that magazine.
And you talked about what the important issues that the magazine tried to address. Could you maybe give us a few examples of some of the articles that came out of the magazine and maybe some of the people who were writing at that time?
Okay. Let me take the first issue of the magazine. There were two important articles in there. One was written by Walter Rodney, and he wrote about African labor under capitalism and imperialism. Now, Walter Rodney subsequently went on to develop this article into a much broader thesis, and which became a part of his book, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa, which to this day remains one of the best histories which has been written about Africa. Another article was written by Isai Shivji called The Educated Barbarians. And this was a critique of the kind of education, university of education, which was prevalent in Africa immediately after colonial rule had ended. And it was a very elitist kind of education, where you knew much more about still European history and European mannerisms and superficial things rather than reality of Africa. And it was also a very compartmentalized education. So we were becoming specialists, but we didn't have broad knowledge about what was going on in African society. So these were critiques, you know, of the education system. Another important article was how economics was being taught in Africa. So this was a question of whether we should be teaching economics from the standpoint of bourgeois economics or use the tools of political economy, you know, for studying economics. And other articles were relating to liberation struggles in Africa. We reproduced an article by Amilcar Cabral called The Weapon of Theory. And there was again another accompanying article which explained the revolution which was going on in Guinea-Bissau at that time. There were articles about nationalization. This was actually a very important issue which the magazine dealt with, because Tanzania at that time had implemented the Arusha Declaration under the leadership of Mwalimu Julius Nyerere. And Nyerere was one of the great progressive leaders in Africa. He championed the complete total liberation of Africa from colonial rule. At the same time, he was a self-declared socialist. And he had nationalized many companies, especially British companies and banks. But our magazine was exploring what is the meaning of these nationalizations, whether the nationalizations really mean control by the country of its own economic resources, or was it mere ownership, ownership in name, but the real control was still exercised by external companies. And actually, Issa Shivji, in the third issue of the magazine, wrote a major piece called Tanzania, the Silent Class Struggle, where he showed that many of these nationalizations which had taken place, actually, later on, the nationalized companies were managed by external foreign countries, companies from foreign countries. And that it was nationalization in name only, but in reality the control was still from external multinational companies. So these were the kind of issues we were taking up. We were exploring the reality of socialism in Tanzania, critiquing the big distance between the theory of socialism and the actual practice of socialism, and whether the practice of socialism, was it benefiting the people on the ground? What was the impact of socialism in rural areas where collective villages were being set up? Were they really collective villages? Were they democratically controlled? What was the economic policy in these collective villages? Were these economic policies really different from the kind of economic policies being implemented in Africa at that time? Because one of the paradoxes of Tanzanian socialism was that although Tanzania had declared socialist orientation, the World Bank continued to play a major role in Tanzania's economic planning and giving economic assistance to Tanzania. And we found it very puzzling, because the World Bank is bank of the capitalist and imperialist powers. The World Bank would not give a single cent to Fidel Castro. And why was it giving so much assistance to Tanzania? So these were the kind of issues we were exploring, that we were really taking half-hearted measures towards socialism and not going towards it in full depth.
And these are definitely very important issues at the time, but also today. And you mentioned that it was a Pan-Africanist approach, and, Walter Rodney, having written in this magazine, definitely, for example, displays that Pan-Africanism. Of course, Walter Rodney being Guyanese and teaching at the University of Dar es Salaam at that time. And so this kind of helps me move into the next issue that I wanted to talk about, was that the Cheche was part of a bit of a larger kind of student radicalism at the University of Dar es Salaam at that time. So can you talk a bit about that, like the late 60s and early 70s and what the University of Dar es Salaam really meant in terms of radicalism and socialism in the region at that time?
Well, at that time, globally, radicalism among students at universities and higher education institutions was a global phenomenon. And students were revolting against oppressive tyrannies everywhere in the third world countries. Even in industrialized nations, they were taken aback by the horrors of the war in Vietnam and the distance between theory and practice of United States, where United States was supporting democracy and freedom, but at the same time, it was behind many of the major dictatorships in Asia, in Latin America, and in Africa. People like General Suharto of Indonesia, Marcos of the Philippines, and in Africa, Mobutu of Zaire, all of whom were really cold-blooded dictators who are being supported by the United States. So all these hypocrisies inspired students everywhere to struggle for change. And the University of Dar es Salaam was, of course, inspired by this global context. But at the same time, as I said, Mwalimu Nyerere was a great champion of African liberation, and he had initially a great influence on the outlook of the students towards African liberation and adopting a less of an elitist kind of attitude. The University Students African Revolutionary Front started on a number of activities, and one of the major activities was to hold self-education classes. Another activity was to visit liberation movements in the liberated areas. So the University Students African Revolutionary Front sent a delegation to the liberated areas of Mozambique, and students there stayed for about 4 weeks, explored the areas, and later on they wrote a long report, both to educate students at the university and others about what was going on in Mozambique, at the same time showing some of the shortcomings of liberation movements. Some of the things, for example, they critiqued Frelimo at the time was the issue of the women question, that the women, although they were participating a great deal in the liberation struggles, but within the Frelimo organization itself, there was quite a bit of sexism. And there was a hierarchical organization within Frelimo, and the grassroots voices were many times muffled. So these were the kind of issues which were explored in that report. Other activities which the students organized were practical activities to raise funds for liberation movements. These were activities like working in the university farms, working in Ujamaa villages, which were the socialist cooperative villages set up in Tanzania at the time. So working with the peasants there and, living with them, sharing life experiences, carrying out adult education classes, and at the same time struggling against the kind of education which was being imparted to us in the classroom. Actually, that was one major area of activity. And most of our teachers were from the Western world, and most of them were just handing out things which were found in American and British textbooks and which were completely uncritical of colonial rule, uncritical of what was happening in Vietnam, very hostile towards African liberation and socialism. And this was, you know, something we thought we should be challenging. So USARF was also active on the academic front as well, both in writing essays through Cheche, at the same time students organizing public lectures and sit-ins in different faculties and departments, and sometimes even challenging university lecturers for what they said in class to come to public debates. There was one very important incident which happened in the early 1969, where an American lecturer of the name Dr. Singleton said that Franz Fanon was irrelevant to Africa. Now, unfortunately for him, the president of USARF, chairman of USARF, was present in his class, and he challenged him. He said, no, we don't think so. We think Franz Fanon is one of the most important theoreticians of the African Revolution. And the lecturer was invited to a public debate in the evening. And unfortunately, the lecturer, you know, refused to attend, but we carried out this public debate anyways. And other progressive lecturers came in, students participated, and it was a very crowded, you know, lecture outside the normal academic environment, but as a USARF educational activity. Another example of, you know, confronting this elitist kind of education and practices was what we did with the Reg Day. The Reg Day was, it was an annual celebration. Every year in October, students would dress up in rags and they would march through the streets of Dar es Salaam, and they would beg for you know, money to help disabled students and so on. And, you know, people who are handicapped and disabled children. And this was a charity event being carried out every year. And this was a tradition carried over from the British universities, which they used to have. And we thought that was a great insult to the common people, because charity is not a solution to the problems of poverty. Charity is just a band-aid. So on the day where the Reg Day was supposed to take place, USARF activists, they woke up early in the morning, and we surrounded the area and set up barricades from where the student buses were supposed to depart for the Reg Day march. So we deflated the tires, and there was confrontation with the student, with the police. And afterwards, the police said that, okay, this march has been canceled now because it is now a danger to public order. But since then, the Reg Day has never been held. And instead, we told that if we really want to express solidarity with poor people, we have to work with them. We have to engage in physical labor. We have to go where they are, not once a day, but regularly, every week.
And I also wanted to ask you, what motivated you to publish the book at this time, almost 40 years after the magazine was shut down? Why is what was written in Cheche still significant today?
Our major motivation is to revive and remember our own past. Because the students, even at the University of Dar es Salaam, there are many students, most students actually, they would not know who Walter Rodney is. And historical memory is a very important aspect of struggle for a better future. And we have to learn from the past. So our major aim is to depict accurately what was going on during those days. Why did the students publish this magazine? What sort of issues they covered? What kind of difficulties and problems they faced? And, you know, why was it banned by the government? And also explore to what extent are the ideas which were espoused in that magazine relevant to this day. At the same time, we do not want the students to think of today to think that what we did in the past was something, you know, without any mistakes and or something wrong. It needs to be copied today. So we are also in the book conducting a self-critique. So what were our limitations also? Where did we make mistakes and where did we go wrong? So we would like the students of today to reflect upon all those issues to see whether those ideas have any relevance today, and to know about what those ideas were. And there was one other very important point was the issue of self-reliance and self-determination. Because today in Africa, especially in universities, Africa is dominated by external forces. You have all the aid projects, so-called assistance projects in academia for research, for education, for curriculum change. And many of the African academics have become subservient to Western views and Western ideas. And it is as if we have just emerged from colonial rule. They are essentially parroting what the United States or the Canadians or the British or want to think. And we want to show the students of today that, look, in the past, there was a group of students which didn't have any money, which didn't have any funds, and which were not dependent on anyone. We didn't have any support from the East, you know, socialist countries. We didn't have support from capitalist countries. We didn't have support from the government here. You know, but just a self-reliant student board group could publish a magazine which within a year became well, you know, quite known throughout the world. Copies were being sold in Sweden, being, sought after in the United States, in Britain, as well as all over East Africa, and purely a student magazine. So we want to, give this, that in Africa we can do a lot with our own resources. The idea of dependency is really at the root of our problems. It is not a solution to our problems. The charity and foreign aid we are getting are actually making Africa much more dependent and ensuring that the structures which are at the root of poverty, injustice in Africa are not challenged, but only superficially things are done here and there. So those are the kind of visions and ideas we want to project to the students of today.
Thank you very much for sharing that with us, and also for publishing this book and continuing with a specific message of self-reliance, and that's very important. So we're almost at the end of our interview. I just wanted you to let our listeners know where they can purchase the book.
Well, the book is available from the website of AfricanBooksCollective.com. Okay, it is spelled AfricanBooksCollective.com, or alternatively, it can be ordered from any of the major internet booksellers like Barnes and Noble. And I hate to mention Amazon.com because of what it has done to WikiLeaks, but it is available on Amazon.com as well.
Great. Karim Hirji, thank you so much for joining us today. Karim Hirji is the editor of a new book called Cheche, Reminiscence of a Radical Magazine. And as Karim mentioned, you can purchase that book on AfricanBooksCollective.com. AfricanBooksCollective.com. Karim, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We will now take a short community listings break and be back with our interviews focusing on new publications from Tanzania. Stay tuned. This is African Perspectives, CHRY 105.5 FM.